Savior is life, and the author has in mind for us as we study this book of Luke to know that what we believe is true. We can stand on it, we can believe it, we can apply it to our lives. Well, last year, everybody on the same page here. Last year, my wife and I celebrated our 20th anniversary. It makes this year 21, right?
Yay.
Okay, gotta keep track of things like that. But part of the fun that we did a little trip to different places, and we ended up going to Prague. And how many of you enjoy traveling just without kids? Sorry, kids. It's a lot of fun. It's a whole lot simpler. Backpack and wife in hand and friend in hand, and away you go. But we came up out of the subway in the center of Prague. We had our maps. We figured out how to get from the airport on the buses and underground. We came up, and right downtown, we're thinking, okay, we are going to stay in a friend's apartment nearby. Okay, which way is north? No idea which directions we're going. Standing there, that looks nice. Nobody really standing around wanting to point out directions. So we spent, after the hour and a half of the plane ride, the hour getting downtown, another 2 hours to go the last five blocks. It started off me, walking this way, trying to find a street name and a number that didn't work, so we went back, and then we circled the block. I think we might have asked one person directions, and they didn't have a clue, and then another person. Anyways, it took a while. Anybody been in that situation? That's not so bad if your backpack's not on your shoulder, and if you don't have a suitcase in hand. And if your wife just says, why don't you just stop and ask? So this whole thing about asking directions and actually following them, the directions, because you follow one and you go about two blocks, oh, they were wrong, and you go back and you ask somebody else and they send you another direction. Done that?
Yeah.
Yes.
A few people? All right. We eventually found it, and it was actually a really easy walk to where we were staying, and after the first time, it was really easy. But it took that first time to finally ask directions and follow directions through to get to where we were going. Following directions. Hearing the directions and following through on what they are. This probably goes in line with Pastor Martin shared a few weeks about going to restaurants and asking for something and knowing what you're going to get, as opposed to people who just spontaneously try to figure things out. It's all in this character thing. So part of what we're going to look at today is that following Jesus, is it more than just listening to his words? Hearing and obeying. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a chance to come and to be reminded of what's important to you, the living God. We thank you for this time that we have to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to watch him as he goes through his day-to-day, watch him as he stands in front of people and teaches, and watch as he interacts with people in order to learn how we can be, how we should be as we follow our Savior. Give us insight today into your word, challenge us, correct us, and may we be more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're in Luke chapter 6, and we'll be starting in verse 37 and going through the end of the chapter, looking at what Jesus has to say here to his disciples. If you remember last week, we started off, this is in the context of Jesus starting off his ministry. Last week, after having started out this chapter where Jesus was in the synagogue, and he had people testing him, challenging him, trying to get him to stumble. And he asked the question, is it lawful to do good or to do evil? And with that question, he actually then went on to heal a person and showing that it's more important to give life than to destroy. More important to welcome people in than to shut people out. And he called his disciples and he gathered them together, said there was lots and lots of his disciples, followers that were there, but he named 12 of them to be his apostles. And then as he was going forth and people were healing and he was teaching, looked to those people following him and he started to clarify a few things. Because we heard a few chapters ago in this book here that some people, John's disciples, they were fasting and praying. They looked like John. They were following him. And the disciples, when there was of the Pharisees, when there was holidays, national holidays, they were fasting, and they all looked like the Pharisees, these religious leaders. But they said, Jesus, your disciples, they're not doing any of this. They don't look like our disciples. What's up with that? So Jesus takes this time now and these verses here in this first long kind of explanation of what it looks like to follow Jesus, what it looks like to be a disciple, what it looks like to be someone who hears Jesus and goes after him. Now, it's not looking like the Pharisees, their followers. It's not looking like John's followers, because they had some rules and some traditions that they did. But Jesus is setting us up to be internal, setting us up to be something that changes from the inside. A lot harder to recognize if you're looking for check marks. But if you're looking for attitude and change, we're going to find it here in Jesus. Now, last week we mentioned there was three things that he was bringing out that Jesus himself said, if you do these, then you will be known as children of the Most High. Remember what they are? This is the chance to remember and to put anything you can't remember last week in your guess. This is going to help you know the context. First thing we're supposed to do if we have enemies is to do what to them?
Love them.
Love them. Yeah, we love our enemies. We do that by blessing them, doing good to them, and praying for them. Okay. Got that one. That's first mark. There's no laws there, but this is how we respond to people. And then, what's the next thing we need to do? If people are going to hurt us and harm us and we know it?
Reach out.
Huh? We do good to them. We bless them. Yeah. So even if we know it's going to be a hard situation, we're going to talk about Jesus and it's going to cause us physical pain or financial loss, Jesus' followers step into that and do it anyways. The third characteristic was generosity.
Giving.
You see people in need, and you have something, give it to them. They may or may not give it back, that's not the point. You have it, you bless those that are in need. So, love enemies, do good, even though you might get hurt doing it, and give generously. Sounds like fun? All right, this is what Jesus has had for us last week to learn and to wrestle with. And now this week, he continues on with a few more simple things that we can apply and look like Jesus. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Stop and think again. Condemnation, judgment. In this context, it's talking about excluding people from your circle of influence, or you excluding yourself from them. Jesus is coming to invite people in. He's inviting them into the kingdom of God. He's inviting them into following. And if he says, my disciples do the opposite of that, if my disciples are judging people by what they're doing or not doing, if my people are condemning people to hell, that's not really what his followers do. So stop and think for a second. This last week, as you were going through your day, going through your week, did any of you perchance hear somebody talking about somebody else in this body here, in our family? Oh, you know what this person did to me this week? Can't believe it. You know what this person, man, they should be forced out of the church. They don't belong here. Mm. How many of you have had that thought? Man, if this person was like that, they probably should be a part of ICS. Crossed your mind? Somebody's not quite living up to what you think they should be? Or what about yourself? How many of you have spent time this week going, man, shouldn't have done that. What am I doing going to that group? I don't belong there. Condemnation, judgment, excluding others, excluding yourself. Jesus is inviting us, his followers, into walking with him, being with him. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. So how do we get beyond that? That's what the next two positives are in this passage. Forgive and give. Forgive is that personal. Man, I've been hurt. My reputation's been stepped on. These people have done it to me personally. Forgive. Let it go. Pay the price for what they've done and just move on and go on with your life. The next one, though, had me wrestling with. Kept going back to last week's where it said we're supposed to be generous and give, give. This one just says generically, give and it will be given to you. And I think it's meant broader than just what's in your wallets. How many of you have given a good word this week to somebody? How many of you have noticed what something has done and gone out of your way to say, you know what? Thank you. How many of you have given generously of your words, of your encouragement? How many of you have given generously of your time to see something done for someone else? How many of you have gone out of your way to give encouragement to those in your circles of influence? Forgive, yeah, we get hurt along the way. And giving, that's giving it out of what God has given to us, the resources, the time, the energy, the words that we have to build people up. Because in the way that we measure it out to other people, it's how it comes back to us. The measuring here is talking about measuring wheat. You can either measure out your wheat and level it off, make sure it's exact, and pour it in and have somebody pay for it. Yeah. Or you can just scoop in, have it heaped and pouring over, and you dump extra in. You're giving them more. Way more than they need, way more than they're expecting, way more than they deserve. You're just pouring it on them because you have it. You're giving it. It's helping them. Generosity. Coming out in how we treat people around us. How many of this, how do you think this comes naturally to you? When it's hard and people are against you, first response, not always this forgiveness and giving generously of our time. And so what we're looking at here, reminded again, is the context. Jesus is here with his disciples. They're sitting around him. They're standing around him. And he's sharing that with them. And we have in mind that he's been criticized. We have in mind that people have been upset with him. And he says this in a parable. It says, can a blind man lead another blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone... But all who are fully trained will be like their teacher. Okay. Blind, leading the blind. Where are we going to go? How are we going to get there? Adriana, if I was going to ask you to take me to Bodno today, up to the cross, and we couldn't talk to anybody along the way and you were going to lead us, would it take us a while to get there? Would it take us a while if I was going to ask you to lead me to the cross on top of Bodno today, if we couldn't talk to anybody, but... Adriana, we're going to the cross and you're leading me. Would it take us a while to get there? It would take us a while to get there. Jesus is looking out here. There's the Pharisees, those people in the crowd who are the lawgivers. And they're the ones saying, this is what you must do. They know the law. They've memorized it. They've memorized what we know of today as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those first five books of the Bible that we have. They had those memorized, they knew them, they could quote them, and they could interpret them with an extra few hundred laws on top of that, so that you were for sure to do what the Old Testament said. But if you follow that kind of a leader, Jesus is saying, you're going to fall into the hole. You're going to get stuck. Because you can only go as far as the person you're following can take you. If I know how to get from here to the back door, we can all go together to the back door. But I need somebody who knows what's on the other side if I'm going to get there without getting hurt. The blind following our teachers. The Pharisees were not good enough. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about. So even though they understood the laws for the Sabbath and keeping it holy, when Jesus said, what is it better to do? What is lawful to do, good or evil, to save a life or to destroy a life? Mm-hmm. Jesus was helping them realize they could not see what God meant when he gave them the Sabbath. They wanted to make regulations in place and bind people to tradition, and Jesus says, no, do good. That's what the heart of this is. Mm-hmm. So, do you condemn, do you judge? You able to do this forgiveness and giving generously in all that you do? If you're having a hard time with it, stop and think about who you're following. Who's giving input into your life of how to live? Who's giving input into your life on how you need to be responding? Who are you sharing your day-to-day life with and saying, hey, this is how I'm responding, what do you think? We all have those friends in our life that help us process and dialogue and work through what's going on in our life. If you're not able to do what Christ is asking us to do, are your eyes fixed on Him? Are you following the right leader? Are the friends around you helping you to look to Jesus? Are they helping you look to their natural responses in life? In following Jesus, we can examine who we're following, look at their life and say, is that who I want to be like? Are they pointing me to Christ, or are they leading me astray? And the next few verses here help us to look at that day-to-day process and say, yeah, this is happening in my life. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So I have some grapes up here. You know where you can find these right now? All over Macedonia. If you drive along the highway, you can see them. There's these long rows that you can walk down. They're only about shoulder high. And right now, there's a pool of people out there cutting these things off. And every one of those vines, you're going to find a grape. They're good. Apples. You can go down farther in the southern Macedonia, down around Ohrid and Bitola and towns like that, Prelep area as well. Resin, that's what I was looking for, resin. Here we go. And find the apples. They're there. You're not going to find too many grapes growing off of those trees, because you know that an apple tree has
apples.
And if you find a pear laying on the ground, what kind of tree do you think is going to be above it?
Pear tree.
The pear tree. It's from last week. These are not the same pears. But they're pears. So we know apples, pears, grapes, whatever fruit. We know where to find them by what they grow on. So look at your day-to-day life. This week, what did you do? Did you speak good to the people around you? Did you build them up? Did you encourage them? Did you write to people and say, hey, you know what I saw in this guy? He was amazing. They spent so much time getting this event on Saturday organized so we could come together and eat chili. It was amazing. There's a guy in our church that if you give him a roll of duct tape, he can make flags for flag football. He can make this amazing thing for the soccer goal so kids can kick the ball into it. There's nothing this man can't do with a roll of duct tape. Thanks, Jeff. Is that what's naturally coming out of you? Building people up, encouraging them with your words? If so, your fruit, those words that are coming out of you that are building other people up, show that Jesus is above you. You're part of Him. But stop. How many of you at school this week, in response to something happening at the playground, said, creep, I can't believe you said that to me. Wait till I find a chance to get back with him tomorrow. How many of you at work said, man, that guy just pulled the rug out from under me, and I know how to get him back. Mm-hmm. How many of you saw someone in need this week and hardened your heart and says, now we can fix that. Somebody else will take care of them. They probably deserve to be in that situation anyways. What's coming out of your heart? What's coming out of you? Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. This is a literary technique. Good, good, good. Good things from a good heart. There's good. Evil people, evil. With evil things out of their evil hearts, bring out evil. But from the overflow of their hearts, the mouth speaks. From the overflow of your heart, you sit down and you type that email and you say, what? Good or evil? Do you build up or do you destroy? You want to know if you're following after your leader? You want to know who you're following after? Stop and look at this last week and say, what came out of me? Am I building people up? it's a good chance I'm following the right person, going towards Jesus. If I'm tearing people down, who am I following? And that would lead me to have that kind of response to the people around me. Jesus wants us to be these people with good. Good people, with good stored up, doing good. You've got to be putting it in order for there to be something that comes out. What goes in is definitely going to be seen by people around us. Why? We've talked about the author of this using questions to challenge us, to make us think. And he asked this question here near the end of this chapter. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? The repetition of Lord, Lord, I mean, somebody's panicking here. Lord, Lord, hey, help! Okay? Ever been that moment where, oh my goodness, life is out of control. God, help me! Hey, I'll do anything you ask. Just get me out of this moment right now, please! We've been there? God, please! Yeah, there's a few nods of your heads. I've been there. Yeah, this is that moment right there. Why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? We want to be rescued. We want life to go well. We want to be fixed. But that day-to-day doing what he says, that's not really about me doing that, is it? Yeah. Jesus is looking out over these people, his disciples, these people that have followed him. They've come for days and days of walking to listen to Jesus now. And he's saying, why are you calling me Lord? Yes, I've healed your sick and I've cast out the demons and I'm here with you, teaching you, and you're listening. But are you going to do it? Why are you like that? Lord, Lord. You know what it's like? It's like a guy in his 20s, got his first job, and he's been told by his parents that saving is a good idea, so every time paycheck comes around, he pays all of his bills, tucks away a percentage of it for retirement, and he keeps working. The next month comes around, he gets another paycheck, and he pays all of his bills, and he puts a little bit away for retirement. And you know when that financial crisis comes and everybody around them is panicking and they lose their jobs and they start losing their houses, he says, oh, I don't have any debt and got money in the bank, and he makes it through. Doesn't panic. Doesn't fall apart. But you know what? There's also his friend. I went to the same school, they had the same instruction. They were going along, and that guy, when he got his first paycheck right out of college, he was so excited. He went out and he got a loan and he bought himself the best car he could get. So then he started paying off on that car, and the next month he got another paycheck. Well, that went to pay the payments, but he still wanted to party with his friends, so he took out another little loan and he kept going forward. And that's how he kept going month to month. And you know what? That same financial crisis hit him too, and he lost the car. Actually, he lost his job too because he was so panicking about where he was going to find some money. He didn't show up to work the next day. Fell apart. His life was a mess. He didn't make it through. That was messy. Our lives are that. It's the day-to-day listening to Jesus and putting his words into practice. That when, not if, that day of crisis comes, other people will see us and say, hey, they made it through. How many of you to this point in your life have faced a major crisis? Family members have gone? You've been sick? Or somebody close to you have been sick? Money up, down? How many of you face those financial crises? Yeah, we all have. This says when that day comes. It's talking about a tidal wave and a house being built on a foundation. We're building our lives on something. And it's that day-to-day hearing Jesus' voice and putting it into practice. That when life falls apart, we still stand. How many of you have seen your friends lose it, fall apart completely? How many of you have watched people around you just fade away, lose hope, stop being willing to go forward? It happens. How many of you have faced that moment where you said, I'm lost? Go into that negative depression spiral and just say, I'm stuck here. Not going on. Drive down the highway and you see a beautiful forest of trees and there's one dead tree standing up in the middle of it, and that's what you notice. Look, there's another dead tree over there. Personal experience. If you want this, if you want to know if you'll be ready for that day of crisis, it goes to the day-to-day. Those words that you speak, those actions that you take, the goodness being put into your life day by day as you look at Jesus and you put his words into practice. Because that day of tension, that day of crisis is going to come. Ever seen one of these machines? Topshop. That's right. This, we're going to play it out here, people. Our life looks really good. The fruit of our lives. But there's coming a day when we really are going to face what comes. The hardship comes. What's going to happen to your life? Somebody don't want to be around when your life is juiced? It's going to happen. People are going to see you when you don't want them to. And something's going to come out. If it's good, it's going to be a blessing, it's going to encourage, it's going to build people up, and you're going to survive. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that look good. That when the pressure comes, they're destroyed. And their fall is painful. It's messy. They might not get up again. So Jesus is asking us today as we look at these verses and we apply them. Are you following me? And it's more than just a yes or a no answer. He's saying, look at the fruit of your life and say, Jesus, I hear your words and I'm doing them. In fact, if you were to look at my day-to-day, my words, my encouragements, my emails, my time, my energies, yeah, it's obvious. I'm underneath you, Jesus. I'm following you. If anybody was to take my fruit and pull it up and crush it, they would see Jesus. That's what Jesus is asking us this morning. Are you following me? Not just with your words, but do you obey? Lord, Lord. And do it. That's what marks us out as his. The actions, being his hands and feet, loving, forgiving, giving, being in the world around us. So I ask one more time, who are you following? If you're not quite sure yourself, take a few minutes and look back at your last week and examine your words and your attitudes. Are you going towards Jesus? If you're not, it's easy to fix. Lord, forgive me, help me. Come into a small group and talk to other people about how they're doing it. Have them help you point to Jesus. Talk to one of the leaders in the church and say, hey, this isn't where my life's going. I don't see this fruit in my life. We'll encourage you. We'll help you. There's some of you in this room that this year you've been doing that. Daily. Opening up God's word and reading it. Saying, Jesus, teach me. It's making a difference in your life. I've seen it. I've been amazed this week hearing stories of what God is doing in your life. I see fruit in your life.
Amen.
Lord, we do what you ask. Father God, take these words and take your words here in this gospel. The words of our Savior that he spoke to those following him and challenged them, called them out, gave them direction on how to live. Lord, it's hard. We confess that judging people comes very naturally. Seeing the horrid things in them and overlooking our own is really easy to do. But we want to be like you, Jesus. Even though they condemned you in the temples, you loved the people around you. And even when you went to the cross and people spit on you and whipped you and nailed you to the cross, you forgave. You prayed out, Father, forgive.
You're amazing, Jesus.
But they don't know what you're doing. They're doing.
So
we look to you, Jesus, as the only one who can not only teach us, but also can lead us by example. And we ask you to help us today. Help us to look like you, to taste like you, to react like you, to feel like you in every situation. That those around us would feel the love of Christ, that they would sense the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. Because it's here with us. We take it with us. Expand your kingdom, Lord God, through us today, I pray. In the name of Jesus.